I just want to start from the outset to say that any decision we make today may change tomorrow. In order to have the best expert advice, we have commissioned...
Supercoach 360.
If the time's going up, it's recording.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, time for the show.
Oh, mate, 100%.
We need to find out why they think it's okay to say anything.
It's certainly one of the greatest challenges in the history of the game.
That's what they want to try and do.
Megastar to megastar!
In this regard, we're leaving every option on the table.
Excellent. Oh,
what was that, buddy?
That was something special.
You know what?
That's not talent.
Uh-oh.
Supercoach 360.
The best way to handle these things is to stay measured, stay calm, you know, live your life as normal.
Unless we start finding it off the people... who actually
just do it.
It makes their little ordinary life feel a little bit better for that moment.
Makes you
cool. Supercoach 360 podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
May change tomorrow. In order to have the best expert advice, we have commissioned...
Supercoach 360.
If the time's going up, it's recording.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, time for the show.
Oh, mate, 100%.
We need to find out why they think it's okay to say anything.
It's certainly one of the greatest challenges in the history of the game.
That's what they want to try and do. Megastar to megastar!
In this regard, we're leaving every option on the table.
Excellent.
Oh, what was that, buddy?
Something special!
You know what?
That's not talent.
Uh-oh.
Supercoach 360.
The best way to handle these things is to stay measured, stay calm, you know, live your life as normal.
Unless we start finding it off the people... who actually
just do it.
It makes their little ordinary life feel a little bit better for that moment.
It makes you cool.
Supercoach 360 podcast.
Hey guys, how we going, girls? Last episode, bit of a free for all here, so they've given me control. tonight we've got not much on the agenda. We've got a few trades for those lucky enough to have a couple. We got a few captain options, and then.
Okay. Who are you? What are we listening?
I am... It's Supercoach 360, obviously. Got Bergs here, Jazzy here, Louie in the background.
What's up?
Make some noise, boys.
What's going on? How are we doing?
How are we? Are we pumped for footy? Like, it's the last week.
Finals.
Last week before finals. Couple of good games this week.
There's been a couple of good games the last couple of weeks. Been good. Couple more coming up.
Shall we start with the weekend that was, boys? Because you made a comment pre-show. Pretty much the only teams that can win the comp, you believe, play Thursday or Friday night.
Yeah. Well, Pretenders play Saturday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Just from the quality of football that was shown. Like Penrith, don't read too much into that. Obviously, they're going to be, you know, where Penrith will be come finals time. They're the team to beat.
Yeah, they've already been sort of resting a little bit.
What the Roosters and Storm dished up, just incredible. And then they got fired up by the Schmozzle on Saturday by the rest of them, and that just showed me that it's three teams now. Even though one of them is not in top four, so history says they can't do it, but they put 6 weeks together from last week. I think they can do it.
Roosters.
Yeah.
They're looking mighty strong. You were talking about it last week on the pod.
Couple of injuries, Tupou. Someone else got injured, and Lindsay Collins 4 week suspension.
Yeah,
Radley head knock. So as long as Tupou and Radley are back, I think they'll be all right.
Berger, are you doing the shares, bud?
Yes, I am. But, yeah, no, I totally agree with you there, though. All right. Watching the footy on the weekend, the games I did manage to watch, I didn't watch nothing really Sunday, but they were relevant games. But,
you missed crackers.
But, yeah, for me,
scoring
I think...
affairs?
Oh, funny, that. Teams that can't defend, leaking in heaps of points.
I think the Melbourne and Roosters dished up some great footy. And yeah, Penrith, when they get Naif back after a 5-week rest, that's such a godsend for them. if you're catching me drift, to have your half back sit out for 5 weeks or 4 weeks before finals.
I mean, like, if he had any niggles, you know what I mean, then it would have been a real good time to get rid of those niggles.
Last year going into finals, he was underdone. He had the injury there. He had the shoulder thing, and he still pushed through this year, fit.
He'd be chomping at the bit.
And, yeah, hanging the play.
For 5 weeks.
Yeah, he'd be itching to get back
out there. Well, the whole team gets a week rest this week, so everyone's going to be fresh come next week. So the question is, Melbourne Parramatta play each other this week.
Now, I would have thought...
The winner of that game will more than likely play
Panthers.
Do you throw it and play the Raiders week one?
Yeah, well,
instead of going to Penrith, getting beat up, and then probably having to back up the next week anyway.
Or making Penrith back up the next week. You know what I mean? The problem with that being Storm and Parramatta this year have been the only ones to really show Panthers up. They know what they're doing. And I know the Panthers were underdone when they played the Storm last time, but still, I've seen them in the grand final.
The Storm have gotten better since then too.
Yeah, like they've clicked, and I think leaving Munster at fullback is very dangerous. His Panthers don't know what to do with that yet. Munster's so unpredictable. He doesn't know what he's going to do.
Nobody can coach against that.
Bro, he's just a gun. Like, in saying that, they lack a bit of creativity with Meany at six, but he does a decent enough job for Munster to play one. You know, and one's such a crucial...
But that's where... Well, Meany doesn't have to do much. With Hughes pretty much controlling the right-hand side, Munster's still sweeping around his fullback there. Munster can still sweep around his fullback and play that 5-8 on the left-hand side outside Grant and Hughes as well. So, as long as Hughes pivots to the other side of the ruck, it doesn't really matter, I don't think, where Meany plays. He's just making up an extra number somewhere.
And he's been doing it well.
No, I'm not saying he's terrible or anything like that. Sounded bad, I did, but...
He's been brilliant for him this year. Anywhere he's been asked to play, he just goes in and just does it. He gets told what his job is.
That's it.
And he just goes in and does his job, and that's what the Storm want, and it's worked quite well for him. You know, it's going to be interesting when they're outside backs next year, I should say, back to full strength, because they're coming on now, but...
No, he'll be a walk-up start on the wing.
Yeah, that's it. Like, that's where Meany's supposed to be playing. So, it's going to be interesting when he gets back there, what he does, because he's a seasoned NRL player. You know, like, he's had a decent season.
He was a score for them, man. He was a good score. Like, he would have been our best to finish the year off last year.
Well, that's it. He came out of a terrible fucking Newcastle team into just as bad as Berry's team. And now he's finally found a team with a little bit of structure and decent players around him. He's shown he's got what it takes.
Yeah,
I was one of the first ones to rubbish Nick Meany when we signed him, but by the end he was definitely doing...
He was pretty much your only attacking threat by the end of last year.
He was doing great things for us. It was a sad loss for us, really, because he would have been doing really good this year with Burton and that as well. Penrith are the team to beat, but them other two teams in the Roosters and Melbourne both have the team to do it. Like you said, Lindsay Collins, massive loss for
but
4 weeks.
But he'll be back come GF.
Yeah, but do they get there without him? Like, he's an Origin and Australian rep, I think.
He's good.
He's
a big loss.
He's a gun forward. I know where Hargraves will pick up slack with minutes. Lodge definitely will
pick
up
slack
with minutes. So I think that other young Butcher...
Well, he'd been out, Collins, pretty much since Origin, remember. That's why they got Lodge. So they weren't really missing him before he just got his suspension. So
it was just...
it will be, obviously, drop off in that bench rotation, but...
It was just to look at on paper, what a fucking...
It's formidable.
Has
what a menace.
4 weeks, or is he going to the judiciary tonight?
No,
he's... He took the early.
Yeah, he took his medicine.
Which, for me, I think he was harshly done by as well.
Well, they're trying to eradicate it, but when you're giving people 4 weeks for that and then you're giving people fines for other stuff in the same game, it's like, what are you trying to eradicate from the game here? Well, I thought the head was the major issue, but we can drop elbows into people's heads, but as soon as you lazily fall on someone's back of their leg, it's 4 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Just, you don't know. The grey area is so big. With
but then we'll check the head when there's a head clash and we'll send Cohen Hess off for 10 minutes. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, there's grey areas, man. Yeah. Oh, that's actually a question I have, actually. Do some forwards take like more than an inch when given it? Like, you know how they sort of get given their inch and then they end up turning it into a mile, you know? And to get a fine at the end of it is a bit of a joke. When the likes of Dale Finucane, whose tackle technique was too hard and too fast, which got him 2 weeks, it's just fucking kidding. Like, it is kidding. Yeah, but
Big Nell's definitely Vanessa Charlton's on.
Well, man, it's premeditated attack. I'm sorry. You don't just...
I don't know if it's premeditated per se. It's like he goes into the game intending to do it.
No, but
when,
it's,
when the situation arises, he takes the opportunity that's presented.
See, I think at some point throughout the game, he went, well, I'm going to drop an elbow into someone. He might not have known exactly who he was going to do it to, but he knew.
Well, he got he got Gus. There was probably more.
It was a pretty hectic game.
Oh, it was brutal.
Like,
it was a 90s throwback.
Great to watch.
It was awesome to watch.
But yeah, all right. Last week, what's up? Go, you keep going.
No, don't.
All right, last week I asked a question and put a post out like what you guys would like to see changed or maybe some love sprinkled in the way of that particular stat or whatever. Wade Murphy said if they could do an extra points for man of the match, it would be good. Like, say you get the Dally M points, like you get best man on the field gets X amount of points maybe. It'd just add to the fullbacks probably.
No, I think that just adds shit fight to the game. Because everyone agrees with the 1-2-3 every week.
That's it. Are you going off Dally M? Are you going off Channel 9?
Or Triple M off, or
yeah, well,
SEM?
It'd be Fox for sure that you're going off with some affiliation.
Oh, but that's it, like...
Exactly. Yeah. It starts to get a bit sketchy there. Otherwise, they've got to award their own player in the match, and that is the player that scored the most Supercoach points.
Oh, I'll go back to a game where I watched a Penrith. I think it was 2-3 years ago, maybe. Paul Gallen was the Dally M judge. I was watching a lot of... Because we were right there next to
the... You got the photo.
We were right there next to it, and I was watching a lot of that and the game, and a lot of time he was there on his phone. He wasn't even watching the fucking rugby league.
Yeah.
So for him to give out the Dally M votes after that is a joke. Because they don't have time to go back and watch a replay and then give the votes the next day. They have to do it like within an hour or something after the game. So
yeah,
it's a schmozzle. Yeah. It's pretty much, oh, popular guy. Yep, 3 points, 2 points, 1 point.
So yeah, it's a farce.
All right.
Takuri Ramika, sorry dude if I butchered that, he'd like to see a 5-point deduction for a failed captain challenge, 1-point deduction for a successful challenge, 2 points for a Falcon either way, 2 points for a Goosey that leads to a try, 3 points if they have a mullet. Get rid of the slimy loophole and a free trade during buy round. So yeah, that was a good one, I like that. Matty Meag, Matty. Hope you did well this year, mate. I reckon one-on-one strips should be awarded points unless they already are and I'm unaware. I'd love for tackles to be worth more than 1 point, perhaps 2 points. I'd love to see more points for running meters too, just his thoughts. This is from Wade Murphy again. Try saving tackles and intercepts.
Can we just elaborate on that one?
Yeah, that's it. I was actually, that's a really good point about the hit-ups because... You've only got hit-ups under 8 metres, hit-ups over 8 metres. But I think if you get past...
I'm happy for every, like, 10 metres. Like, if you go over 20, that's worth 3.
Yeah.
If you go over 30, that's 4. 40, that's 5.
Yeah,
and a point every 10 metres.
Yeah. Run the length of the field but don't manage to get the try.
And if you do it...
8 points anyway, because that's a pretty hectic run to have to do. I mean, it's the fullback's fault you got past in defence, in theory. So they shouldn't get anything for it. But if they manage to get back there... You know what I mean? Like, the person who chases down that person should get the try saver as well.
Well, they definitely need more points salt bait their way.
And I think for a dominant one-on-one tackle, 2 or 3 points.
Yeah, well, they come up here. Tackle with a loss of meters should be worth 2 points, and tackle causing error should be worth 3 points.
Five, even. Oh, that's a big moment in the game.
Massive game changer with a tackle.
Tackle causing error.
And not 9 times out of 10, it is due from that one man getting up under the ball with his shoulder.
Last year or the year before, they introduced a scoring play that was forced a scrum. Something like that.
Yeah, there was
so
four
if you took someone
points,
out or if you force an error, you got a certain amount of points. I don't know if it's still there. I don't think it is. But yeah, that definitely has to be impacting Supercoach because it impacts the game hectically.
Well, yeah, and 9 times out of 10, like I was just saying, it is that one bloke getting up and under the ball. Like two men's normally, the penalty's blown.
Yeah.
Even if there isn't hands in there because two men are in there and the ball's
but
coming.
But that's it. Even if there is three men in there and the ref calls knock on, don't give all them. Like, just reward that one guy who does that good shot who forces the ball loose.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That was from James Christoff. Danny Sackle. Post-try celebrations give an extra 2 points, which, you know what, I like that. I do like that because...
I would like to see more of the post-try celebrations.
Well, this year, if you... I didn't have a whinge this year because it was implemented. Obviously, something went out. Remember last year, I was heavily disappointed with the...
I was still heavily disappointed with Try July.
Yeah, but this
year... The Sharks were the only team that pretty much celebrated every single one of their tries.
Yep.
Every other team let drop the ball, I think. Yeah, that month, you celebrate every single try you score, even if it's just nothing. Wipe your bum with the fucking football.
Yeah,
like,
do
just
something.
Do something. Like, yeah. It's not hard.
And then 20 points for a halftime shoey. That was from Saxy. I like Saxy stuff. It's always good.
It's got to be alcoholic, but can't be Powerade.
Then today I got these. I threw a question post up. Just asking, like, where some people, like, went wrong and... If they had anything. Shauno said one less centre wing and one more fullback position. Would anyone like that?
I think part of the game is finding that fullback that you can put in your wings.
I don't think your salary cap would like that.
Yeah.
Could you?
To be honest, I can't. I mean, I'd love to have three fullbacks, but sometimes that's why you have to get on someone because of that dual position thing.
The other day I thought I've seen something about 18th man as well, like having just an 18th man. Nah. Gone. All right. Nicholas Heffernan said it's almost time to start talk Supercoach racing. And then James Rhodes said NBBL.
NFL so starts soon, guys.
Let me just say
jump
this.
Jump aboard the NFL with me.
BBL this year, Braddo and Roscoe are going to continue on doing stuff on the website for everyone. So just keep an eye out there. The content will be still getting to the website. We'll work out how we're going to do it and stuff over... Probably Supercoach Racing. But yeah, we'll get back to you on that. But there's definitely going to be some content coming through the website and probably through...
For BBL.
Through the website and probably through the page. So just keep an eye out for that if you're keen on doing that. If anyone's keen on writing and that with the boys through BBL and keen on doing some write-ups next year for the website, drop us a line and we'll get a hold of you. I'll go back to the questions dropped. Now, Peter Elsery's biggest gripe is that it's almost impossible to make informed decisions during the round regarding changing your trade decisions and substituting players onto the field to win particular head-to-heads because of huge variations in later updates, rendering many of one's decisions ineffective. This cost me a grand final berth in which I... would have won the money because I was, despite being 23 points ahead at the end of the semi-final round, after updates ended equal scores and lost on the ranking rule. So they drew at the end of that, and because old mate was a higher rank, he got the chocolate.
If you can bust with Candy's nuts, we'd all have Merry Christmas. Nah, I get what he's saying, but what can you do?
Like, you know what, at
the
end of the day...
Do you want the guys who score the Supercoach start at 4 o'clock on morning on a Saturday night recounting games?
Oh, well, if they're getting paid to do it, why not?
Because they've obviously been scoring the games throughout the week, so they've got throughout that day, so they've probably already got 6 hours under their belt. Do you want to then go back and double watch?
Well,
or
no,
do you want new people
to
come straight in after they've watched the games up until 8 o'clock on Saturday, or... 9:30 on Saturday and then go back and rewatch the game and have it updated by Sunday morning?
No, I just get the drama that Thursday game gets updated pretty quick
I get that. But what's the solution? Hire more people.
Probably hire.
Make them work OT.
Hire a couple more people, a couple more scorers.
Have two people in there at once. So old mate scores the first game, and then the next fella scores the second game, while old mate goes back and scores the first game again.
I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it. Well, what about more accurate scoring during the games also would help? Like, sometimes some of these players are blowing up some big update scores, and some people aren't seeing it, other people are, but...
Well, I think a lot of time that comes back to that conjecture about the last pass try assist or whether he's done enough to draw a defender or not to get that try assist, and that can be wishy-washy.
Yeah. Righto, yeah, well, that's all that.
Usually I find the most popular player ends up getting it. Plenty
yeah.
of that.
Yeah, it is.
I was just going to say, what would be something that you guys would change at Supercoach? I know we covered a few things last week, but we got given a few good ideas there. Has it prompted anything else that you...
No, just what we touched on last week, like, heavily, I've thought about it a lot. Especially since doing a podcast, because Supercoach sort of become a lot more ingrained in my life since doing that. But just the defense goes unrewarded so much. Like all those things that we heard defensively, a try saver. Now you hear everyone say, like, yep, try savers worth a try, but you probably can't give 17 points. But you could easily give it 10 or 12, like you said last week, which is easily, everyone would easily say great points, you know, because of the effort involved in the play. I think it was James said, the dislodgement of the ball tackle. Like, no one gets nothing for that. It's a nothing doing play. No one gets nothing for the one-on-one strip. Massive game-changing moments in Supercoach and in football because, A,
is it
gives
a
your...
error when that happens, though? Isn't that scored?
I think they did have a score. I'm not sure if it still is. I don't know. I'd have to go through the key.
You want it, Louis, or am I looking?
But there's heaps of little things that I. That's just me.
Well, no. Well, I think if you look back at the start of Supercoach, yeah, it was probably a bit forward friendly, but it was evenish.
Yeah.
But as time's going on, they've upped the points for a try. They've upped the points for a try assist. They've upped the points for a line break assist. They've upped the points for a line break. They've added tackle bus. They've added offloads. They've added 40-20s. They've added all these attacking stats, but the defense is still 1 point for a tackle.
Yeah.
Well, like, why can't we upgrade the defensive side of the game as well? Why does it always have to be attacking shit that's rewarded?
Well, you see some players are just gun defenders and... Where do they get a point?
Well, when these top teams play each other and it's a 6-10 whatever scoreline and there's no attacking stats and it's a low-scoring Supercoach game, that's where the defensive side of it, you get your rewards because there's lots of try-saving tackles, there's lots of good one-on-one tackles and shit like that where defense should be rewarded more, but instead, because we're just attack-friendly Supercoach game,
yeah,
it's the highest score of 65. It's like, even it out a bit.
Yeah, well, there's so many, like, don't get wrong, it's going to be, again, people are going to be up till 4 a.m. scoring shit.
And then even have a try contribution, that's another one they've added too for the attacking side.
Yeah.
See, they've got the ineffective offload, which gives you points for try.
2 points for a shit offload and 4 points for a, I don't even know what they call a shit offload and a good offload.
I think it's just one.
Well, is a shit offload something that you pass to the other team?
I think you get no
meters.
Don't
make any ground.
I think you get no meters.
So if you offload someone and they run 1 meter in front of you and then get tackled, is that an effective offload?
Yeah, because you still manage to offload the ball.
But is it really effective?
No,
that's what I'm saying. Like, how do you judge that shit?
I think it should just be effective offload. Should be a line break
if it generates second phase play off the tackle.
I think it should be if it generates second phase play, but not if you just take a hit up 1 meter pass and get tackled. You should have to either pass it on or make a little run or something after that offload.
I mean, that's it.
For it to be effective,
they may have their own rules and definitions. I mean, they'd have to be able to work it out.
I'll get it. Technically every offload's effective because you've drawn in defenders and you've got the ball away, so the defensive line's shortened.
Well, provided the ball gets caught, if you throw the ball to nothing.
Well, they have. Right. they also have to juice up the defensive side, because it's not like now you can take the points away from the attacking points.
No.
And not with money.
It really is. But, I mean, like, attackers lose points for ineffective tackles. So, I think, ineffective attack. So, you know, missed tackles, missed field goals, etc. You lose points. Errors, you lose points. But penalties conceded. But yeah, you're right. There's no reward for the attacking team if they force an error. And I mean, there'd have to be rules to it. So like a loose carry, when it gets deemed a loose carry, well, that's an error on that team side. But if it gets, well, no, because when you get busted in, they call it a loose carry, don't they? So you couldn't go off that ruling.
No, it's just a great tackle. Like 9 times out of 10, when you watch
the tackle, you can see. If the defender, like, you know...
You see, if Old Mate's shoulders got in there and dislodged the ball, or if it's just come loose from...
Yeah, like loose
carry
loose
or
carry,
whatever,
yeah.
Well, here's the key to this getting points, you know, and why it should get points is you don't see it every set of six. You know what I mean? You see it occasionally in a game.
It's worthy of points, you know what I mean? You need points for a game changer, but how do you define a game changer? You know what I mean? Like, but you can see it when you're watching the game, that momentum shift, that one play, which then turns the tide for the team and they start coming back. You see it every single weekend.
What's the difference between, like, a Victor Radley or something rushing up and forcing that mistake 10, 15 metres out from the opposition line when they're coming off, and someone kicking a 40-20 and getting down in the exact same field position?
Yeah, right? Like, it literally...
They can both change the game at the exact same way. Like... Just reward defence, guys.
It's got to be looked at anyway. At least discussed, I think. Like, there has to be a discussion somewhere.
Well, no, so what would you put in it? You would put in try savers. I like the idea of
if you knock the ball loose.
That results in negative metres, or a tackle that results in no metres gained.
Or a dominant tackle, one-on-one dominant tackle.
One-on-one dominant tackles, yes, for sure. Strips.
Try savers need to be up.
A strip is a defensive move. You don't have the ball at that point.
Strip should be, yeah, heavily
it's the
rewarded.
Ultimate defensive
at
move.
At least
when you think
5 points
it.
For strips.
I think it's getting underdone. I think 5 points is piss poor for that.
It literally is the ultimate
piss
defensive
poor.
Move
oh,
you can do.
Well, I'm saying at least.
If you get
I'd
eight,
go 8 to 10
what do you
personally.
Get 8 points
but
for a line break? I'll give him 8 points.
This.
I'll give you 8 points for that, because 9 times out of 10 you get that ball and you semi-break the line, you know, and you don't get a line break for that.
Yeah.
So... It should be worth 8 points at least, at a bare minimum for me. It's a massive, massive play.
I agree.
And again, it's one of them plays you don't see every game. Only certain people can pull it off. Well, don't get me wrong, everyone can pull it off. But
well, what was it? The 2019 Green Final, where Munster stripped Crichton late in the game. Secure victory pretty much for the Storm. Yeah. Massive play. Massive.
Yeah,
and he would have got 0 super coach points for it. Cool.
But you know what? End of the day, massive, massive moment in football. And it's a moment that the people at Supercoach headquarters could probably go, well, look, that's a reward moment. There's plenty. If you tackle him within inside the 8 metre mark, that's a 1 point.
Well, 2 points.
Or two points.
You get
yeah,
the
yeah.
other point for the
yeah,
hit up
yeah, yeah.
that they didn't get.
That's right. Yeah. So there's a lot of love that can be spread to the defenders, and it'll bring a lot back up into the game. And then don't get me wrong, next year it's going to be harder again to get a fielder squad because everyone will have more points. But again, it reopens up trying to find that way of jigging your team the best. So yeah, I just like it. It's a discussion that I know it probably fall on deaf ears. I don't know if anyone will ever hear it at Supercoach headquarters. Timmy, fucking...
Yeah, you're the man, Timmy.
Yeah, Timmy, bro.
Take the idea. Change the game.
Yeah, you steal it, bro.
Yeah, take the credit. Do whatever you need to.
Anyway,
get it done.
Let's talk a bit of Supercoach before we go to footy. If you had two trades left, now, I've been talking to Toby. I was on the Supercoach Hub podcast last week. I forgot to say it on Tuesday. I was on there last Wednesday. Wow, very informative guys. I was on there with Supercoach Guns, and I was on there with... Toby's troops. Young Toby is coming 17th.
Killing it.
This week, two trades left. Specifically plays overall. Doesn't really play head-to-head much. But has two trades left for this week. So put yourself in Toby's shoes. Sorry, Toby, mate. But put yourself in Toby's shoes. You've got two trades to make. what do you do? How do you go for some points here, guys? Like, where are you going to look for it? Like, so we do have a couple of tough matchups, but
he's got a pretty solid team. I mean,
I think an upgrade in the centre wing from either Toto or Tonga.
Yep.
Granted, they're not. Well, given they're not both playing this week, so I think you can upgrade them and probably give Tass a rest.
Is Trell getting rested? Because Trell's going to be part of your 17.
Trell will play. No, Trell definitely play. He'll just definitely play.
Taking the week off.
He's just up to RE, does that.
Refreshing. So, could be a C option for Trell. Being up to RE, being up the bush, had a relaxing week. Come back, mind refreshed, body refreshed.
Like they said on...
New game, old opposition, old club.
Well, we were watching 360 before we come out here, and I don't know if you're in there for when this was brought up, but the bush boys just love the bush. Like, they have to get back to the bush. Like, the city's a bit much. Like, my missus is a little bit country, you know what I mean? And it's sometimes this big city's a bit much.
Well, I don't think I could handle even living in the city full time, and I don't even come from the bush.
Yeah. It is. It's very mind toll. It takes a toll on the mind a bit, city, if you're not embraced in there.
Yeah, fair call.
So, yeah, your trades, what are you doing? Where are you going? You're just getting rid, you're getting upgrading Targo or Toto?
Well, that's it. Look, a week like this, I mean, what's the game that you're going to go for to go pick a random spine player?
Well, like the Raiders, again, Jack White and Hudson Young, Rapana, that left edge, they continue to crack on.
I don't mind it either.
I'd hedge my bets with Parramatta.
To roll Melbourne.
Pardon? Well,
you got to think Supercoach.
Yeah.
You got to think Supercoach. Like, you don't really score much points against Melbourne. That's why we sat. People talked about sitting.
You don't really score much points against Penrith either. And both times, they've managed to lay it on.
Yeah, I'm just...
Parramatta are a wild card. Look, I'm just saying, right?
It's
what's
a mass
the one
gamble.
Team that I look at here? If I, because I've got Teddy's team.
Toby's
team in front of me. And I'm looking at it, and it's like, well, okay, if Trell's playing, then you've got fullback covered. Drinky might get a rest depending on the outcome of that game, you guys were saying earlier. So, yeah, I'd hedge my bets. If Parramatta's playing for it, it's at home at Combank. Where they
what are his backs there?
I don't know. He's got Manu, Toto, Ronaldo, Dewey, and Tass.
Look at your theory that if Parramatta are playing for it, all good, but what, is Melbourne just turned up to make up numbers?
No, of course not.
That's what I mean.
I mean, they're not going on mass.
I'd be looking at teams that have put the queue in the rack, like the Manlys or the Knights.
Tigers, Warriors.
The Dogs
have got Manly, but is it going to be a high scoring
affair?
That's
the problem.
Slugfest. Like,
Knights versus Sharks. I mean, you've already got Nico. Who else do you go from the Sharks? You've already got Mulatalo. Who do you go?
Lockie Miller.
Super Pod.
Yeah.
Does he have Greg Marju there? Was talking Greg Marju.
He did not have Greg Marju.
Was
there.
Talking Greg Marju last week. I like Greg Marju this week
Warriors
as well.
Warriors against the Titans. Warriors are playing at Mount Smart though.
I just like Greg Marju's attitude. We've all talked about before. He's super coach friendly guy.
He is.
Might be defensive again. There's a thing with defense that you only lose how many points from missed tackle con?
One.
Minus one. So he might not be great for the Titans, but he's not bad for Supercoach if he's missing them tackles.
See, that's possibly another thing you could look at.
If you
one-on-one miss a direct tackle that leads to a line break or a try, maybe you should be punished more than 1 point.
Like a five-pointer.
Well,
three-pointer.
Old mate's just scored 27 plus 10 points for the try and the line break he's gone past you with. So,
hey, and this could be why we don't have the defensive scoring in there, because it can become a slippery slope.
Well, obviously that one can be open to, but the other ones I think are pretty foolproof.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, depending, you know, at a certain point you start to go, well, hold on, I'm adding 4 or 5 points here and I'm subtracting 4 or 5 points here depending on what's happened. And over the course of a game,
then we don't do that when they score tries or they make errors or concede penalties.
Yeah, but you're not going
to... Or kick it dead.
Yeah, but...
Well, if I'm Toby, because I'll bring it back to topic. If I'm Toby, I'll probably jump on Rapana or I'll jump on Marju or I'll jump on anyone else we miss. No, that's...
No, I'm just trying. I'm just looking through. I was trying to find something, and I forgot what I was trying to find.
I'd be looking at definitely strengthening me backs.
Well, he's got Chez there. It's a question of how do you do that? Do you enough Chez for cash and then upgrade To'o or Tungo to one, or do you try and I don't know.
Chez is only worth 460k.
Yeah, but if you're juicing him for enough, that's 250k straight in the bank.
I think you're hoping to have money in the bank and.
The To'o you can juice to just about anyone, but then that's it. Who's your target?
Val would
be my go-to in this team, but there's a chance Val gets rested if Parramatta do win.
Well, I'm going Guster, Hudson Young, and either Tanga or To'o.
Guster against his old team?
Either Tanga or To'o to Rapana or Val if he plays.
I'm not going against Gus against the Rabbitohs. It's his old team, bro.
No
way. Yeah. You have a blinder. Brand new stadium. Roosters are out to win it.
Possibly. You might get 9.5 fingers out of 10, but I'm backing him not to.
Well, that's a good segue, Juzzy, into the next question. What will be the games of the round this upcoming week?
It's Thursday night, Para v Storm.
I think there's a couple of juicy ones on offer. Like, they might not be spectacles like we've seen the other night, but I think there's a couple of good games on offer.
Dragons, Broncos. I mean, anything could happen. Broncos seem defeated.
Roosters, Rabbits. Clearly game of the round for me.
You think game of the round?
Yeah. If they both turn up with the attitude and intensity that I hope they turn up with,
absolutely.
Brand
new stadium and full teams, like you know,
I can see Melbourne Para being just as good a spectacle.
Does this 100%.
Does this game give the Roosters... Oh, no, they're already above. That's all good. So this game works out. Like, can the Rabbitohs jump up to where the Roosters are on the ladder? Can they finish above the Roosters? Is this game for pride?
No.
I think it's if we beat them by 30 points or something like that.
The Roosters can jump up to fifth if they win and Parramatta lose.
Yeah.
And the Rabbitohs can also jump up to fifth if they win and Parramatta lose. If
Para win,
they stay 6th and 7th and they play each other. It's just a matter of where.
Actually, I might just jump in here because I saw a comment on Facebook. Where was it? Richard Allen. If Eels win, how many Roosters and Rabbitohs players get rested? Because then... Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. A lot does hinge on that game.
Yeah.
Like, a lot hinges on that game.
But
I don't think Roosters, Rabbitohs, it's got to be a spectacle. They can't do a mass resting of players. It's the brand new stadium. They can't do that.
I don't think that matters, mate.
It does. It's a sellout.
I don't think that matters.
At the end of the day,
got to make sure your team's not burnt out for the final.
That's it. Do you want a spectacle in round 25 of the regular season when not much is on
final,
or some time throughout the final series?
Yeah. Let me tell you this much: if the grand final's in Sydney, they'd much rather fucking Roosters
at,
than a.
At the end of
Melbourne,
the day, they've already named their 22-man squad, so. Worst case scenario is they can take out 5 big stars, which still leaves them pretty decent teams.
But obviously not
what the people have brought their tickets to turn up to fucking see, but...
You got to pay the following week and extra
at the end of the day, let's just cheer on Melbourne, so everything else is irrelevant, so everyone's still got fucking everything to play for. Let's go Storm.
I think Storm win anyway, personally, that's me.
I think so too, but...
Yeah, I just think there's so much hinging on that game, and lucky it's early, because if that was a Sunday afternoon game...
Well, it'd be better.
Everyone would have to play.
It wouldn't matter, yeah.
Everyone would have to play.
But what worries me is the Storm and the Roosters last week. Like, they got to be a little bit depleted
after taking that on.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you can't play a game like that and not feel the effects next week.
Well, yeah, look, you know what? I'll be honest with you, Bart. Like, you can, because they have to, man.
Says the professional rugby league player. No, but you do. You notice it.
I get that. You have to, but...
You notice when teams have tough games. Sometimes the next week, like, that, they might might still go all the way, but you can sometimes see the effects of fatigue. And just like just the little things that like, oh, okay, maybe a couple of blokes are just carrying niggles or something like that. Or
well, that's for me, that's what will, the Roosters will be the ones coming from the bottom of the eighth. So they will be having this massive, they have to be up for weeks and weeks. Do you know what I mean? So this week, if Storm does win, no, I mean, if Para does win, then I can see Teddy sitting down for a week.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I can see Latrell getting a rest. There'll be key people getting rest for them ready for week one finals.
I would.
They'd have to, man. Like, Teddy's already been up since Origin.
Teddy's Teddy, bro. I get what you're saying, but I don't think you have to worry about Teddy.
It's a long time to be up.
I'd probably be more rested than he. Rhea Hargraves. Maybe Sam Verrills.
Probably career best form, but.
Who?
Rhea Hargraves.
Absolutely.
But
I don't want him to go out and do something stupid against the Rabbitohs and get suspended for the final series.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm happy for him to sit
that
down.
Nah.
Take a rest, bro. Take a chill pill.
It's a liability.
They've got Latrell and a Cody
Walker.
That's
what I mean.
You'd much rather sit.
Well, I'm resting both of those too.
Me too, man. If that's what needed to be done.
If I can't play Canberra week one, I'm resting.
So, yeah, that's where Supercoach is at this week. A lot hinges on that game.
Big time.
In our opinion, anyway, we might be wrong. But
possibly.
I don't think so. Yeah, all right. Any matchups you see an upset in this week? Like, is there a possible upset game? Like, can Manly do the Dogs? Could the Knights do the Sharks?
No, the Knights doing the Sharks. Unless the Sharks end up doing that's rest. But
all right. Can the Rabbitohs do the Roosters? Sorry, Louis.
Yes.
Think they can?
I honestly think they can too.
And look, historically, it's just like when Roosters and Eels play, South in the past 5-6 games have won every single time. Just like against the Eels. We've won every single time in the past 5-6 games. Don't know what it is, but
they turn up to play.
Yeah, just in that rivalry, yeah. And especially with, well, as you said, with such a big game last week, and they won't have Radley, they won't have Tupou.
Won't have Lindsay Collins.
I think South will get up.
Well, so like since that game in like 2009 or 2019 or 18 when they beat yous right on the buzzer and then yous come back and beat them right on the buzzer with an 8-ray try later on in the season, that was the last time they beat yous.
I believe so.
Yeah.
When I looked at the history earlier today and yeah, the last, I think, 4 or 5 games we've won each one.
Look, new stadium, it's Roosters' home ground. Rabbitohs are contesting for it to be their home ground and everything as well. There's a lot going on.
That shit like ain't happening.
In that club land aspect leading up to this game, that book of feud stuff.
And you can guarantee there's going to be a lot more South fans at the stadium than Roosters, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure, but
I'll guarantee that.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's about 6 Roosters people. Maybe 7.
40,000 lifetime members, though.
Yeah, but they don't leave their fucking Bondi mansions and shit.
That's it.
Why would you?
Not going to snub it with the slum.
There's no helipad at the ground. They all can't get dropped off. Sorry if you're in eastern suburbs, huh?
No, we're not.
No, I'm not. We get a fucking train. Anyway, like footy, man. What do you just want to talk footy? Anything? Yous were talking earlier, like, judiciary stuff. Like, is the judiciary, do we need a reel in the off-season of that? Like, should that be looked at in the off-season for footy? Like,
should they just take an off-season themselves at NRL HQ?
We just had one.
Not too much?
Yeah, but it didn't work.
No, clearly.
Clearly. No one's on the same page, same as the bunker, same as match review committees. I think everyone needs, like, a ballpark figure before they go to work.
Well, even the referees on the field and the bunker can't agree. You see times there where the referee gives his opinion and the bunker's like, yep, no, yes. And for some reason, the on-field referee has to listen to this goose in the fucking bunker. Well, why can't the on-field referee have the final call? He's the one there. He's the one getting the flow of the game. He's the one fucking adjudicating every single other ruling. Why should this douchebag in the fucking box come in for one call and go, yep, nah, he wasn't held and he passed the ball? Like, the ref called him held. You heard the ref call him held.
But the ref referred to the bunker, so the ref
Adam
wants
G
that.
No, it's Captain Challenge usually when this shit happens.
Oh, Adam G did a call in the bunker the other night. And he went back and, like, I don't know exactly what's going on, but what's shown on screen, as far as I'm concerned, is what needs to be established to ask the viewer and the audience and everyone there at the ground as to what's going on. Because you can't see exactly what's happened. Everyone turn their head and watch the screen. You know what I mean? Trying to figure out what's going on. You've got no commentary, so you've got to work it out your best, right? I personally think the ref's mic, when referring to the bunker and talking, should be broadcast over the stadium, right? Because you hear it on the broadcast with TV, but you don't hear it if you're at the stadium, and it's essential. You need to know what's going on.
What, so you only hear the video ref? You don't hear the actual on-field ref?
No, you don't even necessarily hear the video ref adjudicating, depending on what stadium you're at. Depending on what's that. But as far as I'm concerned, it's a game day experience thing.
Not all stadiums have the same facilities. You can't expect that.
They've all got PAs. They've all got the ability to broadcast. They do. They've all got screens and stuff set up. Wherever an NRL game is played, it's part of the NRL.
Well, there's
it's broadcast. Therefore, it needs to be. Even the country games, believe me, it's not that hard.
Here's your thing. They have a thing called rabbit ears or game day ears that they sell
like
for 20
bucks, bro.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's why.
Well, you know the big stadiums, you can hear all the refs, what the ref's saying, what the bunker's saying.
Don't get me wrong. And you hear the difference sometimes in the broadcast, too.
Well, you hear everything in the broadcast.
Yeah.
On TV, you hear what the ref's going up there for, what the bunker said. Hey, mate, can you go up and challenge this? Check this, please. He's like, yep. Hey, bunker, can you check this? What you just told me to check? It's like, why can't the fucking bunker just check it? Are you telling him to check?
But Adam G did a call in the bunker the other night where, to me, the viewer, he showed absolutely everything that happened inch by inch. He went, here's where you can see the ball's up. Here's where it crosses the line. You can see it's the same frame. And not every bunker official seems to do it that way, but when they do it that way and they just really lay it out for you exactly, especially like a contentious decision over a try or a no try or something like that, really, really appreciate it as a viewer of the game.
I'm a massive G fan on and off the field. I love his stuff. I think he's good.
Yeah, like straight up. Well,
fuck your Clines, fuck your Suttons.
I heard him in the bunker the other night and I saw like the actual adjudication and I was just like, perfect, because sometimes exactly what you're referring to, I'm going to throw Ashley Klein under the bus here because I've seen him do it a few times in the bunker.
He's horrible.
And it might be Cummins as well, but you see some outrageous calls from the bunker where they go up and it's just like, whoa, hold on, what's going on? And you're coming back here and stuff like that. It's just like, what's going on here? It feels like sometimes there's an element of management of the game too.
I think it's just incompetence.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't think they could deliberately try and fix the game if they tried. They're fucking that useless.
They're scared. Most of them have got fear. There's only about 2-3 refs that don't have fear. And I think it comes down to the media and the social
media.
What do
you think of the
new ringer? I like him.
He's okay.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, right.
Luke Thompson. Luke something, is it?
Not sure.
Who cares?
Luke Parker?
Nah, Google it. You got a phone.
Something. We're just calling
what
big.
What am I going to do? NRL ringer ref?
Just calling big
I can guarantee you, put that into Google straight up. Here we go. Put that into Google. And if he doesn't come up as the picture, I'll be surprised.
No, I like him. He's good. I do like Andrew G as well. You know what? They seem to understand the grey area. You know what I mean? Like, when someone's not going to be an effect on a play.
I think Atkins is the best. Grant, Atkins is, yeah. Yeah, he's number one for me. And then I got G, Ranger behind, Klein's useless, Cummings, not, yeah, whatever. Chris Sutton's better than Gerrard, but they're both Suttons.
Yeah.
Can't find old mate, but...
It is very odd how...
Todd Smith? I think that's him.
It's very odd how one family managed to get so much power in the NRL refereeing system. It seems like a lot, doesn't it? When you've got like 2-3 brothers involved in it.
Yeah, well, it started out as just Bernard. He was just a referee and there was no one else. There was no other Suttons. And then Bernard got, I think, the top gig as referee's boss. And all of a sudden, Gerard's refereeing all the big games within a few years and... Now, Chris is coming through, but I like Chris. He's all right.
All right.
All right, what else we got?
I don't know. Berg's got his list over there.
Lou, mate, you got anything?
Yeah, yeah, got a...
digest?
Well, we've got a round 24 recap, Studs and Duds by Brad Smith, by the legend himself.
Brad Lou.
Let's have a reach through this, shall we?
Why not a reach around, Louis?
Yeah.
Beat
me to it,
sorry.
First of all, studs. Obviously, King Gutho, or as you can see in the title of this video, Queen Gutho, we like to call him, scoring 159. Apparently, there's 140 people that traded him out, which that's going to hurt. Also, AJ Brimson went big. With 139 and IPAP, proving again why he's one of the most popular forwards with a 123. Also another one, Jordan Rapiner, who we've touched on before tonight, getting a 120.
Rapana's got tons in him, mate. You know what I mean? Like, Rapana's a gun. He really is.
If you want to completely pot on, Sebastian Cruz loves to try.
Yeah.
He's not a big fan of passing when he can see that line semi-open.
Yeah. Sorry, Lily, continue on.
Yep. Dan Gagai, again, got 123, which I think that came from probably the last 15 minutes when he got multiple line breaks and stuff when they were down a man after Titans got, was it Brian Kelly, I'm pretty sure, got sent off for that sin bin for that throw on Dom Young. Who else? Hudson Young also getting 111. And as Brad says, he is one of the informed forwards at the moment.
Between him and Sean Lane, if you've had them for the last probably 5 weeks, you are killing it. Like, they've been way out there, the pair of them. And at the start of the year, I don't think I mentioned either of them.
I had them both.
Yeah, you've had them both, yeah. Sold them both too. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, you also had Sean O'Sullivan, Tino, also cracked 100. Sean Lane, Jerome Hughes, Brian To'o, and Nikora. A shining light in what was a bludger of a game. Definitely.
He's definitely another option this week as well.
Yeah, good pod option.
I believe I actually saw someone comment in the Facebook chat as well.
Yeah.
On Nikora. Duds. Oh, Val Holmes. What's going on? 41. You know what went on? We played South. We're just better.
Yeah, they scored 10 points.
Yeah. Reid Mooney. He's fallen off this year, hasn't he, compared to last year?
Big time.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of Reid.
His base is down and his attacking stats just totally dried up.
Is that cause you think he's going somewhere else or is he ultimate professional? Or...
No, I don't think it's got anything to do with him going somewhere else. Team's just under him now.
Yep.
Ola Kuatu. As Brad said here, the whole Manly team really realistically should be listed.
Yeah.
But given his big ownership, yeah, 30, Olukuwatu is not the best. Cherry Evans getting a 29.
That's
all
it.
All those that traded in Cherry Evans for Cleary.
In an ideal world, in the last probably month, you wouldn't be playing these guys. If you had trades, you probably would have flicked them. If you didn't, you wouldn't be playing them unless they're a last resort. I know Olukuwatu put in 2 good weeks. The last two, this was a dud week, but yeah, you'd try and avoid playing all Manly players at this rate.
Yeah. We also had Cam Munster with a dismal 26.
What a beast.
Adam Reynolds getting 6.
Knocked out.
Yeah. Ben Hunt, he went off early, I'm pretty sure.
Going by 8th minute.
There you go. Yeah. Ben Hunt getting 11.
Now, here's just to stop you there. Young Dukes, head-to-head grand final for a pretty decent cashy against his housemate, Mitch. And he goes the mad pod play of selling Jerome Hughes for Benny.
What?
90-point turnaround.
Cost him?
I think he crept home. I think he crept home. Just.
Wow.
He would have been shooting himself, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was tight. I think it did come back to updates and stuff. But, yeah, Duke's got him in the end, I think.
Yeah, and last but not least for the duds, Sean Johnson, who holds a record for the most appearances on the duds list with a 3. Juicy 3.
Ouch. Knock me over with a feather.
Ouch.
Pod play of the week, Gutherson owners. Gutherson. Especially anyone who captained him.
Yeah.
What a ballsy play and
not many came out. If any.
Wouldn't have been many. PPM star of the week, kick out. Over 11 times this year he scored over 1 point per minute and he did it again getting 102 and 70 minutes.
He does this on a Sunday, probably pre-update.
Somehow, Brado's team, Hopper's Finger, got some wins this week. Thanks to a last-minute decision to swap Tass for Moga.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Moga's been going all right. Moga's been doing
well. Past few weeks, he's got a few good scores.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Thanks again, Brad, for that. Yeah, thanks again, Brad and Ross. All years run the ball up hard for us, so we really can't thank you enough, boys. It's been and the content's great. Like if you really go back and have a look, Brad's hit the nail, solid 80% of the time, solid. So it's good information. He does his work, you know.
Definitely. No, thank you guys. And if you come see me, I reckon I can thank you enough.
Oh, another one of them, mate. you got any live questions there, Louis? Again, Livey, thank you guys that have tuned in every week to watch us and that. We can't thank you guys enough as well.
Absolutely. Everyone has tuned in all year, live.
Yeah, listen on the thing. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Anyway, you like anyway you listen. Yeah, we can't thank yous enough for giving us the year we have. You know, we get the questions off the guys and we get inquiries through the week that sometimes trigger our agendas. So thank you. Louis, thank you for coming on board this year. We put the call out this year.
It's been a pleasure.
You came straight round, so that was awesome as well. We can't thank you enough as well, man. Appreciate all your efforts this year. Sometimes we know it's hard to learn the tech. Trust me, I can't learn my phone. So yeah, Juzzy. Love your work, lad. Con, you too, bruz.
Cheers, mate.
It's been a pleasure, boys. Supercoach season drawing to a close. I mean, for us, it's pretty much over. We're not in overall contention whatsoever. Congratulations.
I won big last week from me if I score. Yeah.
Million.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about 70,000, but...
Good luck.
Million again, yeah.
Gay could glitch on the weekend.
Double captain. Could you double captain and get home?
Speaking of,
I need to captain my old team.
Captains, boys, who are you captaining this week? With your final captaincy of the year, Your final vice, looking at the roundup, let's just go over that again. We've got Paris Storm, Dogs Manly, Roosters, Rabbits, Warriors Titans, Dragons Broncos, Cowboys Depleted Panthers, Knights Sharks, Tigers Raiders.
I will be going with Val if Melbourne win.
Yeah?
I'm thinking Trell. I'm thinking going Trell.
I'll be keeping an eye on that one, Louis, just in case things don't go that way. But
yeah.
I don't mind that either, in saying that. Either Teddy or Trell, I think they're both up for big games.
See, I forgot. Trell's up against his old team, so he's got a point to prove there as well.
Yeah, and you know what? He's...
And his teammate in Teddy.
He's been the form fullback for the past, since he's come back, really. Not many have outscored him. If not, they definitely haven't out-averaged him.
Well, I think he's leading the NRL in line break assists right now.
He's a weapon.
I'm pretty sure.
Like, we knew Troll was a weapon.
Yeah.
But this rehab's done him a whole lot of good by the look of it.
Oh, he went to America and she come back trimmer than I've ever seen him, so...
Focus and learn how to train in a different way from what we've got here. Like, you know what their sports systems are like in the US. They're insane. Look at their professional sport, NFL.
I don't know. Yeah. I think they just sent him to the, like, foremost expert on hamstrings.
Yeah.
And he's some yank dude. But yeah.
Because there's a market for it over there. You know what I mean? Because American sports is massive, massive, massive money.
Well, apparently he taught him pretty much how to re-walk. So... Everything there up, and then obviously he's come back with a totally different mental attitude.
Yeah.
His physique's different, and he just looks happy.
Yeah, he does, man. And in years gone by, I don't think you've seen that.
Never.
Yeah, I'm here to play footy, you know. It's more of a, I'm here to play footy.
When he went for an obligation earlier on in his career, it was more, sorry for an interview, it was more like an obligation. Now he's happy, he's chilled. Where the entertainers look, come look at me, come watch me play.
What game of the round do they play, actually? What game is that? Third game. So that's a VC. With the outs, especially if you've got some Penrith. Oh, no, it doesn't work because they play early too.
No, they don't. They play late. They play Saturday night.
So, yeah, with the Penrith, you could look at the VC loop with Trell. I think Trell's probably a good VC loop just because of the matchup. It's a tough matchup, so... I think I'd like to have a look rather than just balls up on him. Up to you, though. If you've got the numbers and don't want to run an AE or whatever, but for me, I'd probably VC him and go into someone at the Sharks. Or... So who's the Tigers playing, sorry?
Raiders.
Someone at the Raiders, or even...
Rapiner. Would you put a big balls captain on Rapiner?
You could. You could, the Cowboys. The Cowboys are the other ones, too. If they play a full-strength side against the... There's some Jersey Flaggers and all, I heard, in there. There's some youngsters in there. So, a team of grown men should thump them.
Most of them are the reserve grade, and they just won the minor premiership or whatever in their division. But they've been playing against the second or third best NRL team all year. So it's a totally different ball game.
You remember yourself when they used to come back from 20s. They'd come up from 20s and they go, oh, he's a child prodigy. And he's gone. You didn't hear him again. Because it's a totally different sport. Like, yeah.
Much like those English backs.
You look at the 20s, mate, 50-point games. Yeah, old mate scoring 5 tries, but the defense wasn't there. 30-year-old bloke that's been smashing blokes and been getting smashed since he was your age. It's just going to rip your faces. It's good to watch.
It's a hard knock life.
It's good to watch.
So what are you saying? Panthers have a chance of not winning this weekend?
I just feel for the sake of Penrith, a couple of them will be ego-driven, you know. They don't want to go out against the full-strength Cows. They're hoping that Parramatta win.
I just feel bad for the debutants. That, yeah, I know Penrith deserves to rest their players and whatnot, but these debutants are now just being thrown a jersey willy-nilly. They haven't feel like they've earned their debut. They're getting thrown up against one of the best teams in the NRL. I think it's a bit unfair.
Yeah, it is. They're going to get They're defensively sound.
It could be, but also if they are doing this chartered flight, they might be taking a bunch of their family. It's very much a community club. It's a lot of local juniors in there as well.
Yeah.
So it might be a whole thing of, you know what? Nah, your boys are all going to go play in the big time. And like that's it. They might be like, look, this is your first opportunity for a game. We've got a real good team at the moment, but people are constantly moving through and going, and this is your chance to start playing footy.
But that's right. I feel like I'd be a bit besmirched maybe because I'd want to earn that first grade jersey, not just be handed it because
but they've done that through reserve grade throughout the year. This is their chance to go out and show the world what they can do. You know, because no one watches New South Wales Cup, like realistically, it's not the NRL, whereas this is their first time on TV. One of those blokes is going to be interviewed after. It'd be Mitch Kenny, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Look, it is a bit of an odd situation, but look, I mean, I don't feel like they haven't earned it.
No, I just feel it takes away a bit.
Good luck to them.
Yeah, I hope they absolutely kill it.
Remember the Young Knights? Remember the baby Broncos?
No, I
remember. Sometimes a bunch of kids.
Burton and a lot of the Panthers in the last couple of years too.
Like, sometimes a bunch of kids can have a hell of a lot to prove, man. They are the future. And, like, you forget that sometimes. Like, let's wait and see what happens. Like you said. Like,
I'm going 30-plus.
That has been sprinkled in with an NRL team. It's just pretty much the reserve grade teams being
They don't have the experience out there to guide them. Good luck, guys. Like, they've got a bench hooker out there to guide them. You know what I mean? Like, I get what you're saying. They don't have, some of those cool heads. Those 30-year-old blokes. The ones that are on your side that'll sometimes step up and go.
Not just that.
We look today.
The older Paul's 27.
Who's that?
Fisher Harris or Kigau.
And Yo.
Yeah, they're all
okay. So they've still got their big boys out there to guide the team around.
No, they're not playing.
Oh.
But I'm just saying, like, their oldest plays 30. Well, they're a young team.
Yeah, Arpy'd be their oldest.
Right, he's gone.
So, it's a young side. It's a good young side too, like, let's be realistic.
Like I said, this is their chance to show the world what they got. And I mean, it's a tough test if they are fighting a full-strength Cowboys.
But yeah, I'd be looking at a captain in there. I'd be looking at a captain in the Sharks game. If you maybe wanted to pot on with the Dogs versus Manly just after what they've been throwing up.
Which one?
Both. And yeah, I wouldn't trust anyone in there, to be realistic.
That's it, good work, Perks.
I was Guatu, cheeky VC.
Nah. No. But way too much fucking drinking that day. But yeah, nah, I'd be definitely looking, especially if you're up there. If you're up there like Toby, I'd be probably maybe looking for that pod. Like Nico showed last week, he wasn't the highest scorer in the team, even though it was a bludger of a game. There's other guys out there. You don't have to necessarily go with the grain this week. I think this is the week to, especially if you can get to third, I'd be trying to find a bit of a pod captain.
Well, I think a lot of people might have been hurt last week with the Panthers playing so early and nobody wanting to just BC a kick out or a May or something like that. They just BC it, play it safe, and then they didn't really go big enough to worthy the loop.
What I lose?
And then that was, yeah, he did. And took away either Latrell or Hines, which a lot of people did captain. So in the end, it was a great move. Or if you just threw the C straight out there, he wouldn't have copped DCE's 26, poor bugger.
And yeah, he ended up losing that one to Scotty Scorpions. Got up again this year.
Oh, see, I told you.
2K coming Scotty's way.
He knows his shit, Scotty. So.
He does, man. That's 2 years in a row he's taken out.
Yeah, top one.
Yeah, so. That's it. Like, he knows what he's doing.
Did he do it last year?
Yeah, man. He's gone back to back.
Ah.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Scotty. Killing it.
Jazzy's got a ring for you, Scotty.
Well, yeah, I'll have to get on to Supercoach rings.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Oh, Jesus.
we've gone there already. It's past 9 o'clock. We're sweet. Your kids aren't in bed, well, bad parenting.
See, you should have learned a long time ago. The smart ones did and told us. I don't listen to you guys while the kids are in the car.
No way.
What are you talking about?
Not the way he carries on.
Yeah.
Where'd you find him? Nova building. See? Shit like that.
All right, what else we got, guys? Is that it?
No, wrapping
it
up. On that.
Oh, look at that.
Got a couple of questions on the live. Oh. A couple of questions. Mark Vowles.
Vowsy!
Skidmark.
Yeah.
As ever, thanks for commenting, mate. Evening champions sitting around the 8K mark. Got Cook and Edwards out. Still have three trades.
Oh, Bowsy.
Still have three trades.
Do you have a boost, bro? What's the point?
He didn't need him. He was obviously tracking nicely.
Got enough cash to go to Grant and Gutho, or should I target Pods and try and get high up the rankings? This is my best finish so far. Cheers, lads, for a top year. Big shout out to Roscoe and Smitty too.
Yes, Bowsy.
Pod on, brother. Reuben Cotter. And I don't know if Rapana's available. If you can substitute and get Rapana or Sebastian Chris. If not, fullback only, go Savage.
Ooh.
There you go, heard it here first.
Ooh. And Bowsy, don't forget if you are listening and watching, Bowsy does do drift and he's a pro.
Oh, sorry, Lockie Miller.
Pro drifter. So check out Bowsy's stuff. I like watching the drifts. It's good.
Does a good skid mark.
Does. What else you got there, Louis?
Yeah. Sean O'Vairet.
Sean O.
Had a good year, Sean. Was cracking legends. Won 2 out of 4 grand finals. Buddy Munster cost me a bottle of Jacks versus my mate in one league.
Mm. Well, down on the two. Sucks on the Jack, but 50-50 is not bad.
Hopefully you're in for some cash. Make up for that.
Pay for that Jacks.
Paul Pullman Kennan thanks us for all the great advice.
Thank you, Pullman.
He also says we look like we're just about to go on a long holiday.
We need it now. Just touching on Pullman and that, they do run the hub, Supercoach Discord, SC Hub on the Discord.
They're on another level.
They are.
Let's just establish the people that are in there. Like, we can't even figure out how to use the Discord, and we've got 4 blokes in this room. If you know how to use Discord and you do Supercoach, you got to go get on Supercoach Hub, because it's where everyone who knows Supercoach in and out and live and breathe it go to chat about Supercoach with other like-minded people.
Well, it's not yet.
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
Is it only Bergs that's tried this Discord?
Well, look, I've loosely tried. Like, it's set up like an internet forum board. If you can figure it out... It's pretty straightforward, but it's just like, I don't know, I've just never really used it.
I tell you how fucked I am with it every week. No one goes, oh, no. It's yours next year then.
Straight up. If you can use Discord,
Discord's where you're at. I'm telling you, you appreciate Discord. And the Discorders. Gregory will get bad, but...
Gregory can't use Discord.
Just on the Discord. It also has BBL section. I'm pretty sure there's racing. The boys... cover everything. Like, they are on top of everything. They got some great minds in amongst the group. I really recommend it if you're super coach.
Peter Elser. Peter Elser, as a couple. First of all, wonder who will be playing Panthers in grand final. Roosters. I reckon Roosters. Panthers, Roosters, grand final.
Just in your South Wales Cup one? Because Storm... Roosters playing in the NRLGF.
I don't mind that. I think the Roosters make it. I'll put it to you that way. Still, and Penrith can battle it out to see who gets there.
Yeah, no, I think Penrith will. Where was our second one? Oh, there we go. Here we go. Crichton to win the grand final off an intercept wayward pass from Munster. You heard it here, folks.
Who's that from?
Peter Elser again.
So he thinks it's going to be...
So Panthers fan?
Yeah. Mad Panthers fan, bro.
I thought he was talking to Angus Crichton.
Stephen Crichton's at... he's at his intercept for his glory day.
I thought he was talking to Angus Crichton. I thought, fuck, he's already given up on the Panthers in one comment.
Picked up a sweet intercept 2 weeks ago.
He did?
Yeah.
Just saying. He's got it in him.
Off whose pass?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Katie Walker's.
But I'm pretty sure it was against South.
Yeah.
That was Katie Walker pass.
Let's see. Sean O'Veira, thanks to you lads for the input this season. Still got a chance to make the top 500 overall. Fingers crossed. Good stuff.
Good luck, Sean, eh?
With some of your tips and advice, so cheers, boys. And Paul,
obviously not much of it, because you're in a good position.
Only some.
Good on you for being able to figure out what to listen to and what not. Can you help us out next year?
See, if you can pick and choose the bad ones like that.
And Paul Pullman, again, Bergs is great with Discord. He's done a great job with the pod last week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I had a good time on there. It was a good chat with the boys. It was, it's similar to what we do, probably a little tad more professional. But, yeah, it's a good...
Really? Than us?
Only a tad. You know how we get. But no, it's a really good time. They did put the feelers out to see if probably next year a couple of other boys will come on. So I'll definitely get one of you boys on next year, just or whenever they want you to come on, you know. So be ready to go on another podcast.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's it from this one.
Righto. So, gentlemen, thank you again. Can't thank yous enough for the work yous put in. And
it's been a good year. Thanks, boys. It's been fun.
Taz.
Didn't quite make it in the end, but I had my best year head-to-head that I've ever had. So,
well, yeah. For a while...
I think I had my best super coach year overall, really. Like, I tried to stand on my own too a lot this year and didn't quite piece it together.
Well, you've learned a lot super coach wise over the last couple of years. You're bound to get better and better. I've regressed. I regressed hard this year, but it's just one of them things. Like, if you nail it from the start and you're doing well, you just invested a lot more. Whereas if you see yourself slipping, it just adds to the mindset, oh, I'll see you next year sort of thing, you know? Like, we've all been there a couple of times. Like, it's just like, ah. But, yeah, I think you can only come back stronger next year. Next year, if we get a few more riders and we do our own writing, I think the website will benefit you as well, because I think when you work...
Bro, the website's benefited me greatly, because I've got stuff that I need to know and look at right there in front of me. It's the whole reason why we wanted to put it together. It's so that way we can just see anything that we want to look at. Supercoach. It's where I get all my Supercoach information, because it's all in one spot. So that's all we want to do, is just try and grow it into more of just one place to go where you can find anything you need to do with Supercoach. If you've got any idea, any little thing you want to do, anything you want to write, if you want to do like a column or a video or whatever, like reach out, chat. Bergs will hook you up. And
it's all free.
Yeah, well, that's it. And that's exactly the way we want to keep it. I got a few ideas in mind, man. Like, I got ways that I can enhance my Supercoach game, but like, I'm trying to figure out how to bridge that gap between a couple of things and then be able to bring it to the people.
So you're trying to work out how to hack the system too.
Nah, not to hack the system, but I do believe there are some ways that if you've got the time to really do a bunch of data analysis, you can have some things just sort of shown to you. I remember when I first started, I had the time and I did that. And now I understand a bit more about the game and talking to some of the people that we've talked to over the last year and we've interacted with, it's just like, all right, I know there's a few things out there which... I could really take Supercoach to the next level.
We need to get together and you show me these spreadsheets and I'll show you what information.
Yeah, 100%, and that's it. But there's heaps of other Supercoach minds out there. That's the one thing I've learned this year is, and they know heaps more than us. So it's about tapping into their minds as well and bringing it all together. I mean,
our personal goal for next year should be just to be way better. You know what I mean? Like, we should be able, with a website and with the tools at hand, and if we find the right people, we really should be able to build something good and special, you know? So, it's just a matter of probably finding the right people. Some people aren't confident.
It's not a matter of finding the right people at all. It's us finding the right attitude and pulling our fingers out. And
my attitude's
but that's
awesome.
But I mean, look, you're both right. We need to do what we're doing. This feels like an off-air conversation, but bugger it. We're having it on air.
Right, no, fuck it. Peace out. Peace. Peace. See you next year, and you might see...
I want to clean the fish tank.
You might see some boys on the baby at the BBL keep an eye out.
No, we definitely have some BBL stuff coming. We don't know if there's going to be a pod or anything like that happening just yet, but just keep an eye on the website because that's where it's all going to be. We're going to make a BBL section,
and
you'll see it from there.
I will say this, there will probably be Zoom chats just like last year.
If Gregor can get his hands on a laptop, there could be a Gregor episode somewhere in there.
We'll just chat to Brad. Brad's very keen. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure if you go back and look at last year's BBL, there was a couple of Gregory episodes and you only had a phone. So I'm sure Gregory will find a way.
The good news for you guys is if you do want to contribute or do something that, Brad's spearheading it, so you don't have to deal with my shit or any one of these guys. But, yeah.
All right, everyone. Thanks for the year, guys. Ladies, been a pleasure.
Coaches covers.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Coaches covers everything.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.